Good morning and welcome to another edition of the Let the Bible Speak program. If I told you this morning that dead people speak to me, how would you feel about that? Dead people speak to me. I hear their voices. They tell me their stories. How would you feel about that? Well, you might think I'm crazy, for one thing. But I don't speak this morning of actual dead people literally talking to me, but dead people do talk to me, and they talk to you. I'm using it in the sense of Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 4, speaking of the Old Testament character Abel, the son of Adam and Eve, that though he be dead, yet he speaks. The passage there means that his example and his story lives on in Scripture. And by that way, dead people speak to us. And so this morning, I want to go down through Hebrews chapter 11. We'll take part of it today, and then we'll continue on in a series on the Let the Bible Speak program about these great individuals of faith. These are dead individuals who've been dead many, many years, and yet they are speaking to us. And they are saying very, very important things. No, I don't believe that dead people literally talk to us like ghosts talking to us. God does not send back people from the dead to speak to us. We learned that from the latter part of Luke chapter 16, that when we die, our spirit goes to a place that is fixed. The righteous go to a place called paradise or Abraham's bosom. The wicked go to a place called torment. And it's a fixed place. And the souls of the righteous and the wicked do not leave that place, also called Hades. Two different compartments or places in Hades. Souls do not leave that place and come back and haunt the living. It's popular in movies and so forth, but Jesus said they don't do that. The way God speaks to us today is through the pages of Scripture. And these Old Testament individuals in Hebrews chapter 11 are set forth as examples of faith and how to live the Christian life. And at the time that the author wrote this book, these men, and in the case of Sarah and Rahab and other women that are mentioned in the latter part of chapter 11, men and women who are godly men and women, they are living lives of faith and obedience to God. They had been dead many years, hundreds of years, over 1,000 years in some cases, and yet they're still speaking. Their lives and their lessons are still being heard. And they're still heard today if we will open up our Bible. Whether it's Hebrews 11 or any other Bible passage, we can learn a lot. We can let them speak to us and teach us very important lessons. And that's what we want to do today and on this series of lessons. And I'm glad that you've joined us, and I hope that you'll get some good from it. Hebrews chapter 11 comes at the end of chapter 10, where the author is writing about the faithful life of a Christian. And even if they are persecuted, they live a life of faith in God. And they're not to shrink back from that. They're not to pull back from that, but keep moving forward and living faithfully. And then the author opens up an entire chapter on what faith is and how it is illustrated in people's lives to encourage these New Testament Christians to be faithful to Christ. And so let's begin reading in Hebrews chapter 11, in verse 1. Now faith. What faith? That faith that he had been talking about toward the latter part of chapter 10, living by faith, the righteous living by faith. And then he's going to say, this faith is something. It means something. It is something. It shows itself in ways. And I want to further talk about this faith. And so in chapter 11, verse 1, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, a conviction of things not seen. For therein the elders had witness borne to them, Old Testament individuals. By faith, we understand that the worlds have been framed by the Word of God, so that what is seen has not been made out of the things which appear. All of the things in the universe were spoken into existence. They did not come about by other things already being in existence, and then these things that we now see and that we now understand have just evolved from other things, other material things that were already there. The writer says they came about by the Word of God, not by what has already been there. What is seen has not been made out of the things which appear. So what you see around you was not made out of things that were already physical and material in nature and just remolded and remade. There was absolutely nothing, and then God spoke all of that into existence, and that's Genesis 1:1, of course, and following. And then starting in verse 4, the writer of Hebrews is going to list a large number of individuals who lived and walked by faith, and they speak to us. They're dead, but they're speaking to us on the pages of Scripture as their history and story and life has been recorded, and we can learn from it today. And so the first one is Abel, the son of Adam and Eve. Cain and Abel, two sons of Adam and Eve. Cain does not make it into this hall of fame of faith. He doesn't make it into it, but his brother Abel does, because his brother Abel lived by faith. So Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 4, what does Abel say to us? What does he speak to us? By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he had witness borne to him that he was righteous, God bearing witness in respect of his gifts. And through it, he being dead, yet speaks. He being dead, yet speaks. The dead talk to me, and the dead talk to you in this way that their example in life lives on, and we can read about it. Well, where do you read in the Old Testament about Abel? Well, you have to go back to Genesis chapter 4. And when you go back to Genesis chapter 4, you find that Adam and Eve had two sons, Cain and Abel, and they were bringing sacrifices to God, both of them. But one, Abel, did it by faith. He did it by the way he was instructed to do it by God. And the other one did not. Cain did not. He brought something. We're going to read about it in a minute. But it was not by faith. And so what is Abel speaking to us today? What is he saying to us? He is saying that our service and our sacrifice and our worship to God has to be by faith. That's what he's saying. And he's also saying that even if you have to die for that, so be it. There might be negative consequences that you, when you offer worship to God by faith, there might be some negative consequences from that. Somebody might not like you, or might be jealous of you, or might be envious of you. And Cain killed his brother Abel. But Abel is saying, he's speaking to us, that our worship to God has to be by faith, and it's worth it even if we suffer negative consequences. Friends, there's all kinds of religions today that are worshiping God, but it's not by faith. To do something by faith means that we hear God's word. Paul says in Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. To worship by faith means that we worship by the direction of God. And for us today, that's the New Testament scriptures. There's all kinds of people on this Sunday worshiping God in Clarksville, Montgomery County, Tennessee, United States, all around the world. But it's not by faith. It's not by God's word. It's by human tradition, what humans think and feel, what they like, what they set forth as worship, what theology says, what religious leaders say, what religious laws, man's laws, not God's law, but man's laws say, creed books, catechisms, various kinds of books talk about how to worship, but it's not the New Testament. And Abel would say to us today, your worship has to be by faith, by God's word. And you need to do that, even if it means suffering for it. And someone doesn't like it, and in his case, a very close brother, a family member. Going back to Genesis chapter 4 now in verse 1, and the man, Adam, knew Eve, his wife, a euphemism for the sexual relationship. And she conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man with the help of Jehovah. And again, she bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto Jehovah. And Abel also brought of the firstlings of the flock, of the fat thereof. And Jehovah had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. Now we know from the rest of God's word that that respect that's being talked about is not a respecter of persons where he just arbitrarily picked Abel over Cain. But we know from the rest of God's word that God respects something when he tells someone that's what he wants, that's what he has respect for. And when he has not told someone what he wants, or they go against and violate something that he wants, he does not have respect for that. But God is not a respecter of persons. The word respect here is talked about in the sense of God is accepting what he has told them. So in the process of time, God told Adam and Eve what he wanted. And God may have directly told Cain and Abel what he wanted, or he may have told Adam and Eve and they told their sons. We find it both ways in the scripture, how God reveals himself to others. But God told them what he wanted with regard to sacrifice. Abel chose to do it according to God's will. Cain chose not to do that. And even John says in the book of 1 John that his works, speaking of Cain, his works were evil. Cain was of the evil one and slew his brother. In the matter of the murder of his brother, he's following what the devil wanted, just like Eve had done back in chapter 3. And so, Abel is accepted because he did it by faith. He followed God's word. So, verse 5, Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And Jehovah said unto Cain, why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shall it not be lifted up? And if thou doest not well, sin coucheth at the door, and unto thee shall be its desire. But do you rule over it? You can control your emotions. You don't have to let this get out of hand, God is saying. But Cain chose not to do that. And Cain told Abel, his brother. And it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. Even Jesus in the book of Matthew talked about the righteous blood of Abel. And he was a righteous man. Cain was a murderer. Abel was a faithful believer and obeyer. Abel speaks to us, friends, today from the dead, and he says, offer up a worship to God that is according to God's word. Do it by faith, not by feelings. There's a difference, and you mark that down. There's a difference between faith and feelings. I feel this and I feel that. To do something by faith, to walk by faith, is to walk by God's word, what it says in the New Testament scriptures. That might mean we need to change something. People go to worship services today, and there's a band playing, and they're feeling good, and there's a lot going on. But people don't stop and ask, is this by faith or is this by feelings? And you'll hear people say, well, I'm just offering up a worship to God that's according to the talents that he's given me. There's no instrumental music in worship to God in the New Testament, none. And yet it's done all the time today, and people say, well, God gave me a talent to play the piano or play in this band. Singing in the New Testament was always congregational, where everyone was singing. Today, there's solos, where one person will sing and everybody will listen, or there's a choir and other people will listen. Those things are not found in the New Testament. But when you approach people about it, it's, I feel, and deep down in my heart, I believe God would want this. Abel would say to us today, worship by faith, not by feeling. And with regard to Cain, his feelings certainly got the best of him, and that was what caused him to kill his brother. He was wroth and angry, and his feelings and emotions got the best of him. So number one, Abel, the dead man Abel, speaks to us and says, worship by faith. But then there's another man, verse 5, who's dead and was dead at this time, but he's speaking as well, and his name was Enoch. Verse 5, by faith Enoch was translated or taken to God in heaven that he should not see death. He was taken up into heaven before he died, and he was not found because God translated him, for he has had witness borne to him that before his translation he had been well-pleasing unto God. And without faith it is impossible to be well-pleasing unto him, for he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that seek after him. We cannot be pleasing to God, friends, without faith. It is impossible. You mark that down. It is impossible. We have to come to God, believing in him, following him, but it's based upon faith. And Romans 10:17 is very important. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God or the word of Christ. It has to be based on words, not on our feelings and what we think. So Enoch is a dead person who speaks to us, and he would say, live your life well-pleasing to God. Live your life well-pleasing to God. Well, how do you do that? Well, the brief story of Enoch is told back in Genesis chapter 5 and verse 21. Just a few verses here. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. All the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Enoch would say to us today, live your life walking with God. Well, what does that mean, walking with God? Well, it's an expression. It's used later in Genesis 6 about Noah walking with God. It means living according to God's word and will, and being in agreement with God. Amos chapter 3 and verse 3, can two walk together unless they be agreed? Walking with God is agreeing with God on his terms, that we live according to his word and his will. Walking, both in the Old and New Testament, is an expression for living. Living the way God wants us to live. And Enoch would say it is worth it. Now today, we're not going to be miraculously taken into heaven before we die. That's not going to happen. We're going to die. It's appointed unto man once to die. The exception is if we're living when Jesus comes again. But if we're living right, we're not going to just be miraculously taken up into heaven. But if we're living right, when we die, we can go to heaven. And when Jesus comes again, we can go to heaven. And Enoch would say, walk with God and be pleasing to God. That's very important. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 5, before his translation, he had been well-pleasing unto God. Look at that. Enoch would say, be well-pleasing unto God. Don't worry about what your friends think or feel. Don't worry about what social media is saying. Don't worry about the statistics and the standards of the society around you. Be pleasing to God. Paul said in Galatians chapter 1, verse 10, I'm not pleasing man. I'm trying to please Christ. So many people today, well, I need to make this group happy, and I need to make that group happy. And if there's a vocal militant group, I need to make them happy. And what does the majority say? And what do the scientists say? And what do the scholars say? What do my friends say? What does social media say? We need to get back to being concerned about being well-pleasing unto God. And the way we do that is we follow His word and His will. We get into His book, we read it from cover to cover, which we can do. It's not hard to do. We can learn His will for our lives, and we can be well-pleasing unto Him. Some people will please their spouse over God. Some people will please their parents over God. Some people will please their children over God, or their friends, or their co-workers, or their classmates, or their neighbors. We need to be well-pleasing to God. After all, He's the one before whom we stand in the judgment day. We don't stand before any of these other individuals. We stand before God, and we're going to be judged according to the deeds that we've done in the body, whether good or bad, and we stand before God, whether we've been pleasing to Him or not. So Enoch would say, walk with God, live a life that is pleasing to God, not the sinful world around you. And he would also say, looking back there at Genesis chapter 5, the text says that he walked with God after he began to raise a family. So after he begat Methuselah, he walked with God after he begat him. The best way to be a parent and to bring children into this life is to be walking with God and being righteous and godly and holy. And you can do that. The society tells you a lie. No, you can never raise up to that standard, that goody-two-shoes standard of Christianity. Don't fall for that. You can live a godly, righteous, live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world, Paul says. You can do that. And that's the best way to live with your children. Methuselah had a great father growing up. He had a father who walked with God. We need that today. Well, let's look at one other before we close this morning. We keep reading down through the text. We may just get into this and have to finish it up next week. But verse 7, Noah. By this time, Noah was dead. And yet, a dead man is talking. Well, let's see what Noah is saying. By faith, Noah, being warned of God concerning things not seen as yet, talking about the coming flood, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, through which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. When we do things according to faith, which is doing things according to God's word, believing. Faith means to believe and trust and have confidence in God's word. We are made righteous. We're not made righteous by our own standard, but when we comply to God's standard, we are. And we get to be heir of the righteousness. It's a gift that is given as an inheritance to God's people who are right with Him by faith. So where is his story told? Well, primarily in Genesis chapter 6, 7, and 8, right after the matter of Enoch. The world is very wicked, and God wants to destroy it with a flood, and he does. And he gives people an opportunity to be right with him. Noah, we're told in 2 Peter, Peter says he was a preacher of righteousness. He didn't just build an ark. He wasn't just a construction manager. He wasn't just a builder. He wasn't just a carpenter. He was a preacher of righteousness while he's building this ark, implying that he's giving people, God is giving people through this man an opportunity to learn what to do to be right. Get on this boat. But they won't do it, and so they're lost. And so in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 1, it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the ground and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives, all that they chose. And Jehovah said, My spirit shall not strive with man forever, for that he also is flesh, yet shall his days be 120 years. The Nethinim were in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came unto the daughters of men, that they bare children of them, the same were the mighty men that revolved the men of renown. And Jehovah saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. The thoughts of Cain's heart, what was in his heart, his anger and wrath that was in his heart, that began to control people rather than living by God's word, but their thoughts in their heart controlled them rather than God's word. And it got out of hand. And everybody's wicked. And it repented Jehovah that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And Jehovah said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the ground, both man and beast and creeping things and birds of the heavens, for it repents me that I have made them. But, here's your contrast, but Noah found favor in the eyes of Jehovah. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man. And perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God. Now, I'll have some things to say in our next lesson about this matter of building the ark, but I want to get this in. Noah would say to you, he would speak today, you can be different from the wicked world around you. You can walk with God. You can be righteous. You can be blameless. You can have sin removed if you'll obey the gospel of Jesus Christ and live according to the law of Christ and the words of Christ. You can be different from the world around you. There's this very wicked world, and then we have a but Noah. And we live in a very wicked world today. But, and then you could put your name in there. You could be different. You can walk with God. Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God saw the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all the flesh had corrupted their way upon the earth. But Noah was different, and you can be different. And Noah would say today, you can and must be different. And he got his family on that ark, and they were saved from that flood. And that's what he would say, and that's what he is saying today through his story and through his life. Now, there's some other things that Noah would say, and we'll pick up there, Lord willing, next week. Yes, dead people speak to you and me, and they speak very important lessons. Let's be living those lessons out in our lives. And if we're not, and I can help you to do that, please contact us. Thank you for being with us on the program today.